Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether this is your first time or you've been here your whole entire life, we are glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. A few of the ways you can learn about how we are church together, take a look at your bulletin. There are various announcements there about worship and fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. If you have a question, don't hesitate to ask someone around you, or there will also be an elder at the communion table following worship. Don't forget those hospitality pads are in your pews. Go ahead, sign your name. We won't add you to any mailing lists, we promise, unless you give us permission to, but it's nice to be able to greet one another by name. A few announcements this morning as we get started. It's good to be back with you this Sunday. After last Sunday, I was at Laurelton Presbyterian Church, where our associate pastor, Katie Stewart, serves most Sunday mornings. And it was good to be with that community, and they bring their greetings to you and say thank you for sharing your ministers, being Presbyterian, and the church together. And good news, the Triennium Youth made it back safe and sound late last night. And when they are more awake, they are not here this morning, I'm sure they'll be glad to share their experiences with you. And if next Sunday you would like to be here a little bit early, our senior highs are setting out for their work project in Detroit. It would be great if we had some folks here to send them off with prayer and lots of joy. So you're welcome to come. I think they leave at 9, is that right? I'm getting head nods. So 9 o'clock in the morning, not too bad. We can head over to Tim Hortons afterwards and get a cup of coffee. All right, those are all the announcements I have for this morning. Does anyone else? No one came looking for me. Let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves now to worship God.
Please stand, if able, for the call to worship. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. We pray for your vision of enough sustenance, enough warmth, enough healing for all of your children.
Thank you.
we now come together, bringing the prayers where we have fallen short, where we have felt alone, distance from one another and from God. Let us pray together. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We pray for the grace to let go of that which is death-dealing, as we embrace your vision for life, that we might follow you safely through the obstacle course. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever. Giving thanks for presence that defies definition in this life and beyond. Amen. At this time, the children are welcome to come forward. Going to share with you a piece of paper, and it is okay if you are still working on your letters and reading, but I know some of you are doing a great job with that. And those who are still working on those letters, yeah, I know, it's okay. You can crinkle it or you can color on it. Either way, I'm good with it. So written on this piece of paper are the words that you all have been reading in the bulletin this morning, that we are singing about, that we will hear the story in the Bible from. And can you take a look at your piece of paper? So does she need, I am happy to share one with you. There we go. Thank you. What a good brother. These are, does anyone know what this prayer is? Does anyone know? Harmony? That is very good. Keep us in your arms. I like thinking about this prayer in this way. And we do. We say this together every single Sunday. And pretty much every church says this prayer with a little bit different words together every Sunday. Some families also share this prayer together. And they say it as a family. And so we're going to say it together as a church family. I'm going to read it over a little bit, and we're going to talk a bit about it, okay? So if you can read those letters, why don't you follow along with your eyes and your fingers, okay? So here are the words. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Those words change depending on the church you're in. As we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours forever and ever. Amen. So I'm giving you this prayer so that you, if you would like, during worship today, can do a couple things. You can color on it. If you don't have any crayons, they're back in that corner. As you go back and sit with your family, you can grab some crayons and color on it. Another thing I would love for you to do is to take a look at where we print the Lord's Prayer in the bulletin. And why don't you circle? Where are the words different? And what do those words mean? And then maybe you could ask whoever brought you to church, what do these words mean and why are they different? And I would love for you to take this home. Put it somewhere you'll see it every single day. Next to your bed, You could put it in the bathroom on the mirror if you wanted, or on the refrigerator. And take a look and read these words, or have whoever you live with read these words to you and pray together. Does that sound good? All right. Well, let's have another prayer. Ready? Dear God, thank you for opening up your arms and holding us close, for loving us and keeping us safe. Amen. All right, so crayons are back in that corner if you need some before you sit down. Sound good? All right, thanks for coming up, friends.
The first reading of the word will come from Psalm 138. I give thanks to you with all my heart, Lord. I sing your praise before all other gods. I bow toward your holy temple and thank your name for your loyal love and faithfulness. Because you have made your name and word greater than everything else, on the day I cried, you answered me. You encouraged me with inner strength. Let all the earth's rulers give thanks to you, Lord, when they hear what you say. Let them sing about the Lord's ways, because the Lord's glory is so great. Even though the Lord is high, he can still see the lowly. But God keeps his distance from the arrogant. Whenever I am in deep trouble, you make me live again. You send your power against my enemy's wrath. You save me with your strong hand. The Lord will do all this for my sake. Your faithful love lasts forever, Lord. Don't let go of what your hands have made.
And I'm ready to give up. Feel I've given my all. In the quiet, I reach for God's love. Lean on the church. Lean on love. Lean on the people. Lean on love. When I look at my life, I don't feel I'm good enough to live up to God's plan, to receive and feel His love. Lean on the church. Made in the image to feel and share His love. Lean on the church. Lean on love. Lean on the people, your family, and pray to the Lord above. You can
Amen. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived and I have nothing to set before him.' He answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, it will be given to you. Search, you will find. And the door will be, knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Since I was a child, one of the aspects of summer I enjoyed most was the seemingly unending amount of time I had to read. Of course, this was prior to me being old enough to associate summer with a job. But what I remember, one of the memories I have so distinct in my mind, was the very first time my mom said I was old enough to go by myself on my bike to the public library. I was allowed to bring home as many books as I could carry. And one of the rules that I loved, I know, sounds strange, but it was such a good rule growing up that my mom had for me, was that I could read any book I wanted. As long as you're reading, I don't care what you have in front of you. But my mom also knew me well enough to know that I wasn't going to go anywhere near a romance novel, and I wouldn't be able to sleep if I picked up Stephen King. So, but there I would be in the summers, in the air-conditioned, the library was air-conditioned, home wasn't, aisles, books and books. I'd run my hands over their spines, and I would examine the artwork on the front cover. I would skim that summary on the inside jacket or on the back. Now, any number of these elements of a book might grab my attention, but at the end of the day, there was only one dimension of my bibliophile ritual that would guarantee whether or not the book would end up being strapped to my yellow banana seat on my pink huffy bike. I loved that bike. The guarantee that that book would make its way home with me was after I read the opening line. There are so many opening lines of books that are well known. You don't know about me without you have read a book by the name of The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, but that ain't no matter. That book was made by Mark Twain, and he told the truth, mainly. The Color Purple, Alice Walker. You better not never tell nobody but God. And then after I traded up the pink huffy with the yellow banana seat for a rusting baby blue Chrysler New Yorker, oh yeah, it was a beauty, I still remember the book sitting in my front seat with the opening line, Mr. and Mrs. Dursley of number 4 Privet Drive were proud to say that they were perfectly normal, thank you very much. They were the last people you'd expect to be involved in anything strange or mysterious because they just didn't hold with such nonsense. In these opening lines alone, I would be transported into another world. Books like these, we don't just kind of drift and meander into. We don't just skim over the words hoping to get to the end. We are driven into them, riveted by every word. We have an opportunity with the words of the Lord's Prayer. The familiarity we have to sometimes just skim over them, and even they're so comfortable we might be tempted to wrap them around us like a nice blanket on a cold winter. We can dream, right? With the warmth, we can dream. But I like to think of the words of the Lord's Prayer like the opening lines to an ongoing story with God. So I'd like to invite us just to pause for a moment with these words, this prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. And like the opening of a good book, these words propel us into a place and a time, a space that is quite different than our individualistic and isolating all about me world we seem to live in. Into the kingdom of God that we pray comes about here on earth as in heaven. There's so much great theology in these words, but I want us to just stay here at the beginning. The opening lines that draw us powerfully in, just as our favorite book can. Our Father, the gospel writer of Matthew begins. Give us, Luke will continue. Each line echoes the communal nature of this prayer. And we do say these words together, as I talked about with the children every Sunday, and so many other churches across this country and world say these words. We've got these little discrepancies, right, about temptations and sins and trespasses and debts. But we barely notice the repetition, the significance of the words our and us. And I confess more often than not, I've believed that asking for daily bread, for forgiveness, for guidance, was all about me and what I needed, what I wanted, my own conversation with God. But looking back on my life of faith, I'll be honest that the greatest challenges to my faith have not come during times of great suffering or hardship. They've really come when I've been pushed in one way or another about my personal relationship with Jesus or God. Hindsight being always what it is, I realize that the notion crept up in my upbringing in a Presbyterian church. I can remember hearing the stories about folks who would come and go into the church because for whatever reason or another, they felt like they just weren't being fed by the pastor's sermons, a particular worship style or a program, a culture like we live in that's so absorbed by personal preferences, consumerism, rather than the collective good. Many of our churches have also fallen into these tendencies to focus on what it is that each person may want or need. But it wasn't until college, when I really was longing for a sense of community, like I had with my youth group, as I hear the youth talking about the experiences they have here. But in college, I was met with inquiries from more fundamentalist traditions about whether or not I had personally accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And like so many, I was for a time drawn into the colorful, extravagant, rock concert-like worship experiences. And I was in good company of those who were content to examine and compare their faith to others, which, of course, led to finding ways to judge others for not being Christian enough. Christine just sang a beautiful song that I believe you wrote, right? That's what I thought. That she wrote that echoes the feelings that most of us have had at one time in our life or another about not feeling quite like we're enough. And sometimes the church isn't always helpful with that feeling. And when I was spending time in prayer focused only on my personal relationship with Jesus, I sometimes didn't feel like I was enough. I didn't measure up. And the encouragement then was just try harder, be better. I too could be like those people we held up on a pedestal on a Sunday morning and called a pulpit. It seemed like their lives were so perfect, and I felt so far away from that. And for the longest time, I couldn't quite put my finger on exactly what I was struggling with. And then during a Bible study, the leader for the afternoon began a prayer and said, "My Father, who art in heaven." The opening line, that's not how it goes. And the leader continued shifting all of the ours and us's to me and my. The prayer sounds very different when we pray it that way. Give it a try sometime. But come back. Because years later, I would reflect on this experience and read the words of Parker Palmer, one of my favorite authors, that if we are to grow as persons, we must consciously participate in the emerging community of our lives, in the claims made upon us by others, as well as claims upon them, and only together in community does that person appear in the first place, and only in community can the person continue to become. In teaching his disciples to pray, Jesus first calls us together. And in one single word repeated throughout the prayer, Jesus affirms God's story for our lives and all of creation. That despite our affinities to focus on me and God, the personal relationships and agendas, Jesus draws us into a gathering refrain of voices joined in prayer. Saints past and present who collectively belong to each other and to God. Just think about the power of that for a moment. These words that we say every single Sunday, some of us say in our everyday lives, reach all the way back to Jesus. That followers of Christ have been repeating these words together for centuries. But I think today, it's even a bit more challenging to hear that opening line. Really, just that opening word. Our. To hear the voices throughout the generations who have said, Our Father. These voices are difficult to hear. Above the shouting of political candidates at national conventions, peddling versions of individual greatness that inevitably lead to greed and hatred. It can be difficult to hear these our and us's. And there are so many voices around us constantly drawing lines of who's in and who's out, who counts and who doesn't, who is worthy of respect and who is not. Voices that insist that winning, being right, taking care of number one are more important than our connections with one another and the world. Friends, it doesn't take much to be prophetic in the world today, to be the church today. Is to radically embody the hour of a simple prayer that most of us already know the words to. David Timms writes a book called Living the Lord's Prayer, a helpful book, and he would suggest that it would surely help diffuse our divisions if we recited endlessly that single affirmation, our. When a friend fails us, the work of our reminds us of our desire and commitment to live in grace and forgiveness. When a neighbor wounds or irritates us, our beckons us to remain neighborly. When we gather for worship, our helps us focus on the collective experience, not just my personal preference. And when our little ones use their voices in worship, the hour reinforces the high importance of their being part of the family. And I would add that when civil discourse has turned divisive to fuel bigotry, the hour holds us all responsible to lift up love rather than hate. Justice rather than revenge, and hope rather than fear. One of the ways the words of the Lord's Prayer has become increasingly relevant in my spiritual practice is that when I'm really struggling, frustrated, angry, hurt, or disappointed in other people or what I see going on in the world, I stop for a moment. Sometimes I close my eyes, depends. If I'm driving, I don't do that. And I say the words of the Lord's Prayer, either out loud or in my head. And quite frequently, I can't get beyond the first word. Our. That means it's the person who has hurt me, the person who disagrees with me. Our God is the God of us all. I said that prayer an awful lot last week. So many times I lost count. And no matter how many times I recited the words, they compelled me to imagine the beginning of a different story. Different than the one I was hearing on the television, on the radio, and on the internet. One that we are hearing right now. The one that calls us back to one another and to God. May it be so for all of us. Amen. We come together in this community of worship and we lift together our prayers of joy, our prayers of concern. If you'd like to share, raise your hand and make sure you use the microphone. Let us know who you are and we will pray together.
Good morning. I'm Barb Snaith. I'd like to ask for prayers for John Unson's dad. He's having some heart issues and is in Albany Medical Center. And also, I want to share a joy and acknowledge the pools, because I'm a first-time vegetable garden, and those of you who have never been out there, every single box out there is flourishing with vegetables, and every time I go out there, I've pulled zucchini, tomatoes, and it's amazing. I'm cutting my first broccoli out there, so next year we're going to have a bigger garden and everybody will be really happy. It's been wonderful.
Amen.
Amen.
We pray for John Unson's mother, John and Andrea Unson, but we also keep in prayer Andrea's mom, who just had surgery. So for the whole family as they're Rochester and Albany, a lot of stress to deal with.
Joanne Vander, I'd like prayers for the Ellie Wall family. She's been a member here from the day she was born and till she went to Florida. She passed away this week, but she was so fortunate to be in New Hampshire with all her family that were holding her hand as she went to the Lord.
Wonderful. Prayers for her whole entire family.
She was talking back there. I had to stand up to get her attention. Jan Buettner, I have just a prayer of real joy. Last week I went and celebrated my 50th high school reunion with a lot of buddies. There were 500 of us in our class, over 500, nearly 70 who are now gone. But the wonderful thing about the weekend, and I said this, they asked me to do the invocation, and I said this in my invocation, thanking the Lord for the gift of friendship and the gift of memory. And we had such a great time, and you know the best part about it? Nobody talked politics the whole night. We talked about being kids, we talked about our kids, our grandkids, what cars we were driving, where we lived, the jobs, but nobody got into that mess, and that was a real joy. And then I have a prayer of concern for a friend of mine, Enid Mitchell, who I just learned passed away this week from battling cancer, lives in Dansville. So prayers for Enid and her family. Thank you.
Kate Stanford, I have a prayer of concern. I had told you about a couple of friends of mine that were battling cancer together, and he died this spring. She just learned that there's no more hope for her treatment. So her and her children are trying to cope with the fact that she won't be here much longer, and how do they at 14 and 19 go on with neither parent. So if you could please pray for them, and Lisa, she's finishing her battle, I would appreciate it.
Prayers for the family.
We ask for prayers for David and Billy's mother, Tina. She's in the hospital and strong. She's had some serious heart complications, multiple heart attacks, and several surgeries, and right now she's being medically sedated and hopefully on the road to recovery, but it's really been a trying week or so, and your prayers are appreciated.
On a lighter note, my brother over here is 45 today. Happy birthday, Billy.
And also we hold in prayer Lou Gracie in Rochester General and Bruce Rooker in St. John's Home, beginning rehab on his hip fracture. Friends, let us pray together. Our Creator God, Ancient of Days, Holy Mother and Father of the world and all that lives in it, your arms that once flung galaxies of stars like grains of sand are open wide and close enough to carry each of us, like a father cradles his child next to his heart. May your sacred name be praised, and may your realm extend. A commonwealth of mercy, peace, and justice. It is your love that knits all created nature into one whole, and your will for us is love. God, we continue to pray that your love be done on earth as it is through all time and places. Give us all each day the bread we need and hope to all who hunger for your life. As we share our bread along the way, forgive us for those times when we have wandered away. We have broken faith. For the times we have not loved or moved to forgiveness. God, always stay with us. Keep us safe from all the powers that possess our spirits and our structures. Forever bind us to your joy. For you alone are God of grace and glory. God, we continue to offer prayers for those who are hurting, in need of your love, in need of your healing. Not just the people, but all the places where there is such brokenness. God, may we come together to be your church, to be your people, here in this place and throughout the world, just as your Son taught us. And we use those words that he taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us come with joy and celebrate the abundance which God has shared as we receive this morning's offering.
We offer our prayers, our presents, our gifts, and our service. We lay our gifts before you in praise and thanksgiving for your many blessings. May these offerings continue the transforming work of your Spirit in and through our congregation. Amen.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the courage of the Holy Spirit that keeps us going day in and day out. Alleluia. Amen.